Greetings, this is Evangelist Josiah Scott, and I'm part of the Restored Government of God. Today I will be teaching on the glory of the Lord by expounding from the direction Apostle Peter gave to the church. I will expound on the process and expression of what Peter says is pleasing to God. I will now read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Apostle Peter in verse 1 says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Peter is communicating the activity of our priesthood that all who are in covenant participate in. He says, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Here Peter is communicating that our priesthood meets the same standard of Jesus Christ that God set for it, as the apostles of that time met that same standard. Let's look at the definition of glory from the EVA Terms Glossary. Glory speaks of value, position, and substance. The glory of God speaks of the value which God placed upon those whom he has redeemed, for they hold the substance of Christ, and therefore are given the eternal inheritance. God uses substance to illustrate his glory in Genesis 31, 1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all of this glory. End quote. The substance of glory that Laban's son spoke about was earthly riches. But the substance of the virtue of Christ in our soul is the glory of God, which faith produces. Now concerning glory, before your faith can give glory to God, you must have an activity of faith that carries the same substance that glory is. So let's read verse 2 and 3 to find out what God has sanctified for faith to produce glory. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So verse 2 makes mention of his grace and peace, which are multiplied to us through the knowledge of God. I want to point out that the knowledge of God is truth. Now let's see from the EVA Terms Glossary what grace and peace is. Grace speaks of the form of knowledge that is granted to you, that upon entering your soul, having yielded your will to it, the angel of peace will assist you to receive it. End quote. So verse 3 says, according as his divine power, this is the Spirit which we have received, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge, truth, of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So, we can see that the glory of the Lord is his virtue, born within the soul through our experience with the Spirit of God. As we learn the knowledge and labor with the Spirit / anointing, then the virtue of Christ is produced within. The glory of God is not just repeating knowledge that we see in the Bible, as the world thinks, or proclaiming the beauty, excellence, and splendor of what we see in nature, because those things in nature carry a portion of God, but not the fullness of Jesus Christ that is present in truth. The glory of God is the knowledge that is taught by apostles, and that which we understand through our experience with truth by the Spirit of God. I'm now going to quote from a teaching of Prophet Casey. He says, I want to expound on the word new so that you can keep this in the forefront of your mind. It's a nice word because it gives a clue to the mind to identify what the Spirit is highlighting for us. What is new is not the knowledge of truth, but the unfolding of that knowledge that we are measuring increase by. That's the end of that quote. The word unfolding. So I want to bring attention to the word unfolding. This speaks of what the Spirit is communicating to us as we digest truth And what the Spirit communicates / teaches is that the substance that we offer to God, this is the glory of the Lord. These are the spiritual sacrifices that growth is measured by. I had a word of knowledge ministered to me recently this week. That word is present testimony. We are not repeating doctrine that we have learned, but what the Spirit is presently ministering to us from that foundation of truth. This is the testimony / increase that God desires to receive. This testimony is the glory that we give to God. Again, these are our spiritual sacrifices. Okay, now on to verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The promises of God are the experiences / fruit that the Spirit of God teaches us by the anointing as we engage with truth. By this do we take on the divine nature, because the testimony we embrace in faith, Jesus Christ, transforms our soul into the image and power of Jesus Christ as we grow from each teaching point to each teaching point. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, and we'll read verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So being diligent, which is to persist in prayer, we add to our faith, which is our obedience to grace. We gain the virtue of Christ, being the 9 fruits of the Spirit that God forms within us, which is experienced as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And to virtue knowledge, this speaks of the plan of God unfolding through Jesus in this divine, holy, and ordered knowledge, which is the truth of the gospel that we continue to embrace not once, but continually, that we may gain more virtue, more substance of Christ Jesus to offer to God. Let's go on here. Verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. As we continually labor with the knowledge of God, we continue to experience a change in appetite and habits. This is temperance. For more grace as the soul is transformed into the likeness of Christ Jesus. And to temperance patience. With this increased appetite for grace, we are patient in enduring the time by redeeming the time in the activity of faith in our priesthood. And to patience godliness. By the diligent and consistent activity of faith, we bear much fruit to God, much experience also gained by working with the anointing. This is godliness. Okay, verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And of this fruit that we bear for God, we show forth an example for the brethren, and teach them these things we are taught by the Spirit, showing brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is the end of a cycle of growth. It is the reciprocation to God of the depth of what we learned of Jesus Christ by the Spirit, and showing forth the increase that is present in our heart and ready on the tongue in spiritual sacrifices. This is how we also teach the brethren and build them up. So, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to share a sacrifice. This is a sacrifice offered by Prophet Jonathan recently. As we walk in rhythm with Christ now, we are prepared to continue in that rhythm when our time is finished in this dimension. Amen. So that goes with that verse. Now on to verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now that we know what the glory of God is that he accepts and how it's produced, let's look at the glory that God does not accept. This glory is the glory of man that I briefly touched on earlier,
This quote is a paraphrase from what Apostle Eric and Apostle Erica have touched on recently in assembly or in a class. So I say, the glory of man speaks of wanting to enter the promises of God, but without due labor of faith that God requires, Satan holds the promise before the eyes of man that you can renew your mind and attain the divine nature, but he never shows you how. Satan directs their attention by promises that were real, but because he is highlighting the glitter of the promise, without the labor of faith, they strive after the glitter but not the gold. The gold has to do with attaining the reality of God's promises. So that is why God's focus on the due order of faith. And this is what Apostle Peter is communicating here in these verses. So in closing, we can look at a fig tree. Glory is the fruit of the fig tree, but this fruit is not produced without the tree trunk and roots, which represents the labor of faith to pray and take in water and sunlight, laboring with the grace of God. Many believers desire the fruit of the tree without the process of growing in grace, utilizing the tools of the priesthood. And the glory that they think they are offering to God in the imagination is the shadow of someone else's tree. They read the Bible and see the glory produced from the apostles back then, and they want to assimilate with that, but cannot produce it themselves. This is the correction God is bringing to the church today, that every man must bear his own fruit by being joined to his covenant, which the restored apostles of God teach today. Okay, thank you, saints. That's the end of my teaching.